But Jesus spoke to them at once. "It's all right," he said. "I'm here. Don't be afraid." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on the water." "All right, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. "You don't have much faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Heavenly Father, this morning as we look into your word, we ask that you would again speak to our hearts, that you stir us and challenge us with our own faith, Lord God, and what you might be calling us to do. Father, we ask that you'd speak through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever noticed that some of the everyday things that we do are pretty risky? In fact, some of them are almost insane when you think about it, and yet people do them without thinking. For instance, all over the world, people get into elevators. They walk into the small box and the door closes and it traps them inside and then it travels hundreds of feet into the air. How do you know that that cable is going to hold you? You've never seen that cable that carries that thing up before. For all you know, it could be held together with spaghetti. You don't know. And yet, for some reason, we trust it. We have faith that it will safely lift us where we want to go. Another insane thing that people do is have surgery. "Mr. Shepherd, we're going to lie you on this table. Cut your body open and remove one of your organs. And then we're going to take this needle and thread and sew you up like a sock puppet. And you're going to do that while you're asleep." At moments like that, you become very aware that your life is in somebody else's hands. And you have absolutely no control. And you wonder, do these people really know what they're doing? You may, and when you think about it, there are a lot of times when we put our faith in somebody else. For example, we put our faith in the engineer who designed the bridge that we're driving over. Or we put our faith in the pilot that's flying the airplane. And we might ask ourselves, does this guy really know what he's doing? Can we trust this pilot? Can we place our destiny in this guy's hands? You see, that requires faith. And faith is closely connected to risk. There can be no faith without risk. And risk is closely connected to fear, because sometimes we fail. See, we want to walk on water, but sometimes we sink like Peter did. I used to think that this event was somewhat of a humbling moment in Peter's life, because after he got out of the boat, he began walking towards Jesus, and he got distracted by the wind and the waves and began to sink, and he had to be rescued by Jesus. Peter made it only a few steps, but he made it further than any of the other disciples, because, of course, they didn't even try. He was the only one who even tried. Even though Peter didn't do it perfectly, he did walk on water, at least for a moment, which is more than any of the other disciples did. That's something I admire about Peter. He wasn't afraid to take risks. That's why he was blessed so much by God throughout his life and his ministry, because he never hesitated to step out in faith. In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" It was Peter who answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." On the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who stood up before the crowd that had gathered together in that festival in Jerusalem and boldly preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people were saved that day. In Acts chapter 3, it was Peter again who saw that crippled man begging at the temple gate. And he said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." The Bible says that Peter took the man by the hands and pulled him to his feet. And as he did, instantly the man's feet and ankles were strengthened. Isn't that just a really bold demonstration of faith? And it was Peter who, when he walked down the street, people would bring their sick out on mats and lay them on the street in mats just so that Peter's shadow would be cast on them and fall on them as he passed by, and they were healed. God blessed Peter because he was willing to take some risks. He was willing to step out in faith. In the walking on water story, even though Peter faltered for a moment, he did a lot of those things right. He did a lot of things right. For that reason, I think he still deserves a high mark. He still deserves an A for effort. And you'll see why I say that as we look more into the story. As we look into the story of Jesus and Peter walking on the water, I hope that you'll be inspired to follow his example and take some risks of your own, some steps of faith, so that through God's power, you will be able to do the seemingly impossible. And we're in the middle of a sermon series called The Great Adventure. It's a series of messages about what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. Because being a follower of Jesus is really the greatest adventure that there is. Today we're going to talk about taking a step of faith. There's something inside of us, I think, that tells us that our lives are about something more than just sitting in the boat. There's something in us that wants to walk on the water. Something that calls us to leave behind the routine of comfortable existence and abandon ourselves in the adventure of following Jesus. Being a true follower of Jesus means taking steps of faith. And faith involves risks. That means following Jesus will involve some risks. Now, I'm not talking about leap before you look kind of risks. I'm talking about a calculated leap based upon the assurances of God's word and God's promises. So using the Apostle Peter as an example today, I want to look at this story because we see three things in this story that we need to do when we step out in faith. So here's the first one, and it's very simple. Express to God your willingness to take a step. Express to God your willingness to take a step. To begin living by faith, we need to take the initiative. And that's what Peter did. When he and the other disciples were on the boat late that evening and they saw Jesus walking toward them, they were frightened because they thought he was a ghost. But Jesus said to them, "It's all right, I'm here. Don't be afraid." And notice what Peter did, what he said. He said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you by walking on the water." Peter's saying, "I want to take things up a notch. I want to move my faith up to the next level. Lord, I'm ready to trust you to do the impossible. I'm ready to walk on the water where you are." The first thing Peter did was to decide in his heart and express to Jesus his willingness to step out in faith. The other disciples were silent, but Peter said, "Lord, I'm ready to take a really big step of faith." So what motivated Peter to take that great big step? Well, you know, the answer might surprise you. Because when we look closely at the story in Matthew, we see that it was actually fear that motivated him. It was fear. He and the other disciples thought that they had saw a ghost. And the Bible says they screamed in terror. Can you imagine that? A boat full of grown men crying out loud because they saw something they didn't recognize in the water. Some of them were professional fishermen, right? This wasn't their first time on a boat ride, and it wasn't their first experience with wind and waves. You know, if they were frightened enough to scream, then their fear must have been very, very real. Verse 25 tells us that Jesus came to them at 3 in the morning. Try to picture in your mind what it was like on the lake. You know, the size of the waves and the strength of the wind and the darkness of the night. Picture this little boat struggling to avoid being capsized, wet and cold, exhausted and terrified. These are the conditions under which Peter is now going to get out of the boat. I think it would be difficult enough to get out of the boat and try to walk on water if it was calm and daylight. If he failed, then it would just result in a refreshing swim and a little bit of embarrassment. But imagine doing it when the waves are crashing and the wind is at a gale force. And it's 3 in the morning and the night is dark. It was so scary that the disciples screamed in terror. And yet, Peter's response to his fear was to say, "Lord, I'm ready to step out in faith. I'm ready to do the impossible. I'm ready for a miracle." And this is a great way to respond to fear. They say, "Lord, I'm afraid of what I see in my life, but I'm willing to step out in faith." Let me ask you, have you been attacked by fear recently? By fear? The fear of a marriage falling apart. The fear of your children slipping away. The fear of financial problems or disasters, the fear of failing health. Fear has an amazing capacity to get our attention. And the best way to respond to fear is to say, "Lord, I'm willing to take a step of faith. Tell me what to do." If you want to take your faith to the next level, then stand up in the face of your fears and express to God your willingness to step out in faith. Settle it in your own heart and mind and say to God, "I'm ready to take a step of faith. Tell me what to do." That's the first thing we learn from Peter's example. Here's the second one. When you get the go-ahead, go ahead. That's what Peter did. And that's exactly the way it should be. Listen again to what Matthew writes about the story. He says, "Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on the water.' 'All right, come,' Jesus said. And so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Jesus told Peter what to do, and he did it. That's how it's supposed to be. The problem is that many of us don't do it that way. Instead, we try different variations of obedience that simply don't work. Let me explain to you what I mean by giving you three examples. Variation number one, sometimes we don't wait at all for the go-ahead from God. We jump first and pray second. And while we're in midair jumping out of the boat, we say something like, 'Okay, Lord, I'm getting out of the boat into the water. Please don't let me drown.' And we don't wait for the go-ahead from God. Variation number two, sometimes we say, 'Lord, tell me what to do.' He says, 'Come to me in the water.' We say, 'I'm listening, Lord, just tell me what to do.' And he says, 'Come on the water.' We say, 'Lord, I'm seeking your will. If you want me to step out into the water, then give me a sign. Maybe have John here come up to me and offer to go with me. If John offers to go with me, then I'll know it's really you.' The Lord says, 'Come to me on the water.' We say, 'Tell me what to do, Lord, I'm listening.' But we're really not listening at all. Variation number three. Sometimes we say, 'Lord, tell me what to do.' And he says, 'Come to me on the water.' And we say, 'Okay, Lord, but first, create an island here between me and you. I realize that's not the same as walking on the water, but just think of all the glory you'll receive when people hear of the miracle island that you created in answer to my prayer.' He says to you, 'Come to me on the water.' And we take another look at the lake and remind ourselves of how deep it is. And we say, 'You know, on second thought, Lord, since you're almost in the boat anyway, I'll just wait for you to come to me.' And here we see that there's at least two steps to this part of taking a step of faith. Part A is waiting for God to give you the go-ahead. And part B is that when you do get the go-ahead, you actually go. You do what God says. But that raises another question, which is this. How do you get the go-ahead? Since Jesus isn't physically here talking to you as he was with Peter, how do you know when he's telling you to step out in faith? Well, let me tell you how it works with me. A lot of the time I get the go-ahead from the Word of God. When I do my Bible reading, God speaks to me through the words of Scripture. A particular verse or a story will get my attention. The Holy Spirit will speak to my spirit and say, "This is what I want you to do." Now, sometimes God speaks to me through godly people, men and women who have talked or walked with God long enough to know his voice and speak his word faithfully. It goes without saying, of course, that whatever they say has to be in agreement with the Scripture, because what God has revealed in his Scripture and his word, because he never tells you to do anything that's contrary to his word. Other times, I hear him speak to my heart through the discipline of listening prayer. Now, when I need a specific answer to prayer, I like to find a quiet place where I can be alone and get away from all distractions. Then I bring my one specific question to God in prayer and simply wait silently and listen. I try to give myself at least 30 minutes to do this. Sometimes I hear God in that 30 minutes and sometimes I don't. But the key to listening prayer is to actually take the time to quiet your spirit and to listen. And here's what I've learned. If I take time to listen for his voice, he will lead me, either through his word or through listening prayer or through other people. And maybe you're facing the storms of life right now and you're afraid of what might be coming your way. Maybe you're thinking, "I want to walk in obedience, but I have no idea where to start. I have no idea what to do next." If you're not sure what to do, then start the way that Peter started, by expressing your willingness to God and then listening for his voice. He will tell you what to do. And when he does, be ready to do it. Take a step of faith, just like Peter did. He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He got out of the boat and onto the water. The third thing that Peter did right here, and something that we need to remember, is that if you start to sink, ask for help. The reason Peter's faith earns him an A in the story is because when he made a mistake, he responded exactly the way that we're supposed to respond. Matthew tells us, "But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Now, when we read this story, we usually focus on the fact that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and began to look at the wind and the waves, and as a result, he began to sink. And that certainly is true. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, you begin to sink. And the mini lesson here is, don't take your eyes off of Jesus. But if you do, ask for help immediately. I hope that every one of you can live every day of your life with your eyes fastened on Jesus and pay no attention to the wind and to the waves that are around you. And if you do, you'll never sink, and walking in water will be easy. But the fact is that we are as human as Peter. And once we've stepped out in faith, we're just as likely as him to experience a moment of panic and take our eyes off the Lord. When that happens, our immediate response must be, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." Peter took his eyes off the Lord for a moment, but it didn't take him long to get his focus back where it should be. And as soon as he started to sink, he cried out to the Lord for help. And that's the great thing about living by faith. See, it helps us to keep our focus on Christ. When you're stepping out of faith, you know better than to depend upon yourself. When you're stepping out of faith, you know better than to flirt with sin. When you're stepping out of faith, you know better than to coast through life. Because when you're stepping out of faith, you know that if Jesus doesn't hold you up, nothing else will. If you step out in faith and you suddenly begin to sink, the solution is not to sulk and swim back to the boat. The solution is to immediately cry out to Jesus for help. And notice what happened to Peter. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. "You don't have much faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Notice that Matthew tells us they climbed back into the boat together. The disciples didn't have to fish Peter out of the sea. So what happened between the time that Jesus caught Peter and the time that he climbed back into the boat with Jesus? Obviously, they finished walking back together with Jesus holding Peter up. See, first Peter walked out on the water away from the boat toward Jesus. And then he walked on the water back to the boat with Jesus. Because when he couldn't make it on his own, he asked Jesus for help. Now, this event was not a humiliating defeat for Peter. It was really a success. Yes, he sank momentarily, but he didn't drown, and he didn't stay down. He walked on water, and none of the other disciples did that. None of the other disciples even tried to do it. Now, I don't know how the other disciples responded to Peter when he got back in the boat, but I know how some people would respond. They would say something like, "You see, you got out there and you failed. You sank, you and your big ideas." But Peter could say to them, "Yeah, but you didn't even get your feet wet. And I walked with Jesus on the water." Jesus wants all of us to show that same kind of faith that Peter had. He wants you to walk on water, so to speak. He wants you to take the risk of faith, to live your life in such a level, in such a way, that the only way you can succeed is to sustain his power in your life. Maybe today you're in the boat, surrounded by the wind and the waves, and you're overcome by fear. If you are, then I suggest that you do what Peter did and take a step of faith. Don't let your fear hold you back. You can begin to experience God's power today in your life. You begin to walk on a higher level of faith. And so express to God your willingness to step out in faith. And then when you get the go-ahead, go. And after you've taken those first few steps, if you start to think, and I hope that you never do, but if you do, it doesn't mean that you failed. It means you need to ask Jesus for more help. And he'll take your hand, and he'll help you. He'll walk with you. What fear are you facing today? What boat is Jesus calling you to step out of? Whatever it is, I encourage you to follow Peter's example and say, "Lord, I'm willing to take a step of faith. Tell me what to do," and then be prepared to do it. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Your word says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Lord, you are mighty. And Father, we are weak. But you have chosen us as vessels to display your glory. And you've called us to do mighty things through the power of your Spirit. And Father, we doubt ourselves, but help us not to doubt you. Help us to have faith to believe, oh God, that you will work through us to do things that are seemingly impossible. Father, when we face our fears, I pray that you'd help us to step up in faith and surrender ourselves to you. And when we hear from you, oh God, to do what you say. Lord, may we experience the power of your Spirit in our lives, answers to prayer. And Father, we pray that as we do that, that, oh God, that we would bring you glory. Father, empower each one of us this morning. Fill us with faith and refresh us in your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.